In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The feast of Passover, the night of the Last Supper, the night Christ washed his disciples' feet, the night on which he was betrayed, the day before his death, Holy Thursday. Now, what all must have been running through our Lord's head on this night? We know what he said. I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you, my disciples. What you do, Judas, do quickly. I tell you the truth, Peter, you will deny me 3 times. And most emotional of all, Father, if it is possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, thy will be done. Looking at the divine service for tonight, Holy Thursday, there is just as much going on. The scripture readings that we have heard set Christ before us, washing the disciples' feet, predicting his betrayal, giving the great mandate of love, and instituting the Holy Communion. The color tonight is white, and yet the crucifix remains veiled. But we sing, "Glory be to God on high," again. We are joyful tonight, as we receive what St. Paul and the apostles themselves received and passed on to us from Christ, the sacrament of the altar. But those interwoven words of the introit and the gradual, then the solemn singing of Psalm 22, along with the dramatic stripping away of the altar and the chancel. Now these things put the cross before our eyes, even as the image of the cross itself is hidden tonight from our eyes. The readings from Scripture are about the upper room, but the Psalms are about the crucifixion. It's a conflicted day. It's a mixed up theme. But maybe that captures the atmosphere of Holy Thursday best of all. The Word of God shows to us what the mind of Christ our Lord is, so that we may be close to him, so that we may know him and remember him, not as one who is absent or gone from us, but in faith as the one who is here, the one who is enlivening his church even today and feeding his sheep, so that we may see and have certainty that everything in our Lord's humiliation and his passion, from his incarnation to the upper room, to the cross, and to the tomb, all of it was truly for us. For you, and for me. The Psalms tonight give voice to the thoughts and to the words of Jesus. This is nowhere more clear than tonight when we hear the events of the upper room, but we have the prayers of Good Friday. Now that's tomorrow. We might think that our Lord Jesus is distracted. He's not living in the moment. But we would be wrong then. Because what he bestows on Holy Thursday is his Testament, His will, which is to leave to His church everything that He has on this earth. Himself alone, His body and His blood, and His divine life for us. He gives the forgiveness of our sins, signed and sealed with His own blood. And neither His word nor this great supper can ever be divided or abstracted from His death. Holy Thursday can't be separated from Good Friday. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. And our bulletin cover has captured this wonderfully, placing the chalice and the host in the backdrop of the cross itself. Jesus is praying again tonight in the Psalms. They are His words, high priestly words, especially Psalm 22, the very words that were on His lips at His last hour. My God, why have You forsaken Me? Jesus is the high priest. We are His kingdom of priests. He prays, we pray after Him and with Him. He is the sacrificer and the sacrifice who offers up the atonement. He Himself is the mercy seat. We, dear saints, His church, we are the Lord's attending priests, which means that we have been given access to the Father in Him. And we stand, or we even kneel in His presence. And we are given to eat the holy food from God's altar. God be merciful unto us and bless us. Cause His face to shine upon us. The mercy of God comes from Christ, the true mercy seat. The face of the Lord shines on His people when that face is lifted up to draw all men to Himself. And He gives His blessing, His benediction, and speaks it with outstretched arms. Father, forgive them. Old and New Testaments together are united in the cross. The old pointed forward and had its effectiveness all along from Christ's true sacrifice. And the New Testament is distributed, and it is giving of what has been won and accomplished in His death. And thus do we sing on this night when we proclaim the Lord's death as we eat and drink His body and blood. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom is our salvation, life, and resurrection from the dead, through whom we are saved and set at liberty. Our Lord, who gave us this Holy Supper, who instituted it with His atoning sacrifice in mind, on the night before He offered Himself as the substitute for the world's sin. To we who have nothing of ourselves but our sin, but who come to His table in faith, trusting in that sacrifice, repenting of all of our occasions for self-glorying, to glory alone in His cross and His passion for our sakes. Dear saints, our minds are not distracted whenever we come to this table with Good Friday in view, or with the events of Psalm 22 in our thoughts. Because this is how our Lord wants us to remember His great salvation. Remember it by eating and drinking in that salvation and life and resurrection from the dead in His holy body and His precious blood given to us each week. We proclaim His death in this way. Or as Christ's own dying psalm puts it, we declare His righteousness even to a people that were yet unborn, that He has done this for us. What was fulfilled there on the cross is also fulfilled in us, the Lord's word and the Lord's testament. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. And your heart shall live forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.